Our reading this morning comes from the book of Luke. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. As they were listening to this, he went on to tell a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem, and because they supposed the kingdom of God would appear immediately. So he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to get royal power for himself, and then return. He summoned 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 pounds and said to them, do business with these until I come back. But the citizens of this country hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to rule over us. When he returned, having received royal power, he ordered these slaves, to whom he had given the money, to be summoned so that he might find out what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, Lord, your pound has made 10 more. He said to him, well done, good slave. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small thing, take charge of 10 cities. Then the second came, saying, Lord, your pound has made 5 pounds. He said to him, and you rule over 5 cities. Then the other came, saying, Lord, here is your pound. I wrapped it in a piece of cloth, for I was afraid of you, because you are a harsh man. You take what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked slave. You knew, did you, that I was a harsh man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money into the bank? Then when I returned, I could have collected it with interest. He said to the bystanders, take the pound from him and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. I tell you, to those who have, more will be given. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and slaughter them in my presence. After he said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thank you, choir. When we got here to the building, a few hours ago, those of us who tend to get here early on a Sunday morning were commenting to each other on how unusual and quiet it seemed. As a matter of fact, we were worried about whether anybody was going to be coming this morning because a few hours ago it was so quiet. And then suddenly we all realized that Pastor Dawn is away today. She's in Charlotte, North Carolina, preaching this morning for 2 services at the church where she grew up, the church that nurtured her. So keep her in your prayers. And I think that in addition to preaching this morning, there may be a Super Bowl party in the works as well for today. We want to be aware of one another and say a prayer for one another. If you glance at the person to your left, and if there's no one directly to your left, glance at someone in that direction, and then glance at the person to your right and close your eyes, and let's have a moment of prayerfulness together. Take a moment to pray for the person on your left, that whatever joys or struggles are going on in their life, that God might speak encouragement into their hearts during this time of worship. Pray for the person on your right, that wherever they are in life, they may receive spoken or unspoken a word of encouragement and challenge from God today. Pray for yourself that you may be open to the word that God wants to speak into your life this morning. And then I don't have permission to mention names, but I want to lift up someone in our congregation who found out this morning that his son is unconscious in the hospital. So if you would keep him and that family in your prayers. We offer these things all up to you, O God, trusting in your grace and in your mercy. Amen. So I guess this is a good week to ask the question, how am I doing? Or really the question, how are we doing? Just about every year I take a Sunday for what we call a State of the Church sermon. It's sort of like a State of the Union address, except it's about us as a congregation. And I try to ask the questions, are we headed in the right direction as a church? Are we being faithful to God's call? Are we meeting our goals? What should we continue to do the way we're doing? How might we do better? And I usually do this just before Stewardship Sunday as part of our process of thinking about our life together as a congregation and how we are called to engage in mission and ministry and to invest our time, energy, and resources in the mission and ministry that we are called to. So I want to say a few things about the year 2012 behind us and then a few things about the year 2013 ahead of us. 2012 was a year with some struggles that I've been thinking about, and I know that our management board has been thinking about, and certainly we as a staff have been talking about and struggling with. I think for the first time in a number of years, our average Sunday morning worship attendance went down in the year of 2012 in our three services. It went from 642 to 618, so it's not like the end of the world, but it's about a 3 to 4% decrease in average worship attendance on Sundays here at Foundry Church. And since one of our goals is to reach more people in worship, this is a concern. It's something to pay attention to. Our giving for our operating budget in the year 2012 was just ever so slightly lower than it had been the year before. We as a congregation, through our pledges and through our plate offerings and through our tithes, give to the mission and ministry this church supports. We give about $1.8 million a year. Last year, our giving to the operating budget was down about $11,000 from the previous year. Not a lot of money out of a $1.8 million total of giving, but that's not normal at Foundry. Normally, our giving increases from year to year. Now, we also initiated a capital campaign, and this congregation generously committed almost $3 million already to the capital campaign. So it's not like we've suddenly stopped being generous, but it is unusual for our envelope and automatic deposit giving toward our operating budget to go down even by that amount of money. So we've been thinking a lot about it and why it may have happened. The last year was a year when we had an unusual amount of staff turnover, and we had long periods when we were not fully staffed the way we had been, and that can have an effect on the life of a church and people's presence, especially when people we've been attached to leave and the church doesn't feel the same without them here. 2012 was a presidential election year, which sometimes can have an influence on how much some of us are present on any given weekend. Some of us may have been away working for our candidates. Some of us may have been giving more money to support our candidates. The fiscal cliff may not have helped us. Here in Washington, D.C., when the federal government becomes anxious, a lot of us also become anxious. So there may be a number of different explanations. I need to confess that the year 2012 was not a good year for me spiritually as a pastor. I am currently chairing a project. It's a project to develop permanent supportive housing for chronically homeless people. It is a $28 million project. I have never led a $28 million project before. And when the project began to experience some strong opposition from some quarters, I reacted with a lot of anxiety and a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of worry. It felt like, in some ways, the most spiritually disquieted experience of all of my ministry. I went to a psychiatrist friend and asked if there was anything he could prescribe for anxiety, and he said to me, faith. And I did find the experience of 2012 to be a really faith-stretching, very anxious time. And I'm not sure my leadership as senior pastor of Foundry Church was as strong as it may have been. So I don't want to be overly negative. I just want to say that there were struggles during the year 2012. But also a lot of strong, dynamic, good ministry happened. One of the things I care about most is the ministry to our children. We had over 120 children involved in our Sunday school and children's ministries in 2012. And to me, if we fail our children, we failed. If we succeed in nurturing and supporting our children, we've succeeded. And I really appreciate all of those people who have stepped forth to give time and energy to ministry with our children. Pastor Teresa told me recently that one of our most experienced Sunday school teachers has stepped up to be our new superintendent of the Sunday school, and that's Faye Allen. So when you see Faye, please express your appreciation to her for her long leadership teaching here and her willingness now to serve as Sunday school superintendent. We've got 11 young people enrolled in our confirmation class this year, and we continue to work to support our youth. Our youth are gathering at the Mullins tonight for a Super Bowl party. We helped to support a Freedom School for the children of homeless families this past year who are living in DC General. New leaders have come forward to help us work on our efforts to support ending the cradle-to-prison pipeline. So I'm very, very encouraged by our commitment to children, both the children here inside of our congregation and the children outside of this building in our community. Our choir is great. Our choirs and our music programs are great and continue to be great. I'm very grateful for our ushers and greeters who have really stepped up to strengthen our worship experience, all of those who do altar visuals. Our social justice ministries continue to be strong. I'm very, very encouraged and impressed by our walk-in ministry with people in crisis and homeless people. We have a new volunteer who's been volunteering there for a few months, and she said to me that the work that Foundry Church does with our walk-in mission with chronically homeless people compares favorably to the social service agencies who do it with much more funding so I want to say that our mission with homeless people is strong and just does exceedingly professional and caring work. We sent two teams of 24 people to Haiti in 2012. More than 190 people participated in our great days of service. More than 225 people were active in our regular mission programs, like English as a second language and preparing meals at Christ House and Sandwich 1000 and Peace with Justice and all of the mission and ministry that happens here on a daily basis. One of the tough parts of the year 2012 for us is that we're United Methodist, and every 4 years on a presidential election year, the United Methodist denomination holds its general conference, in which delegates from around the world come and vote. And Foundry Church has worked for a long time on trying to help our denomination's official policies become more welcoming and inclusive of all people, including LGBTQ people, LGBTQ Methodist, United Methodist. And we did not make any progress this year on the official policies of our denomination. As a matter of fact, we made no progress, and it was very discouraging. And I do need to acknowledge that there are persons who, after General Conference, who were active members and leaders of Foundry, decided that they no longer were willing to struggle in the United Methodist Church to be included and affirmed, and who have left to go to other denominations. I don't think the numbers are great. I think most of us are hanging in, but some people that we loved and appreciated openly shared that they have moved to other denominations because they felt our denomination is not working quickly enough to be inclusive of everyone. On the other hand, Foundry probably made history this year because with our choirs and volunteers, there were more than 50 persons from Foundry Church at General Conference, and people around the country that I've talked to said they never saw any local congregation be present at General Conference in the way that Foundry Church was there this past year. Our choir was singing, volunteers were organizing and working for change, and we came out of General Conference with a very, very strong and experienced advocacy team who is now continuing the work for inclusion within our denomination. Our advocacy team was instrumental in a workshop that we participated in just yesterday morning, in which we were sharing our experience as a Washington, D.C. congregation with practicing marriage equality, with pastors and laity from churches throughout the state of Maryland who are now asking the question of what they're going to do about marriage equality. So the work continues to be very strong, but General Conference was discouraging to some. And we continue to hear from all over the country that you, Foundry Church, remains a sign of hope for United Methodists everywhere, that the possibility of a fully inclusive and affirming church really exists. So lots of good mission, lots of good ministry, lots of good worship, lots of good music. And there's one more thing that I want to mention. We had a new member recently who joined the church who, when she was sharing why she joined Foundry, talked about one day years ago when she was having a time of personal struggle in her life, that she was standing outside the church on the sidewalk waiting for a bus. And she said her emotional distress must have been obvious in the way she looked, because she said someone walked out of the door at Foundry Church and stopped and took a moment to ask if she was okay and to encourage her. And she said she remembered that for years, and when it was time for her to find a church, she decided to come here and be a part of Foundry. So I want to say that our personal caring for one another, you can't program this. This is not something that you can organize and put in the church calendar. This is not about programs. This is about culture. But the culture of caring at Foundry Church in which we take time to listen to one another, to pay attention to each other, to notice when someone looks like they're going through a tough time. That's critically important to who we are. Talking to each other, meeting new people before worship. I know that when we introduced 5-10-2, it wasn't everybody's favorite thing. But I hear more and more from people that connecting with somebody new week by week has become an important part of their spiritual journey. Praying for one another. Part of the reason I began beginning the sermon time, the teaching time, with some silent prayer for the people sitting near us is to help us be ever attentive in a caring way to one another. I think those are healthy things about our life together. Now, for me, as we live into 2013, one of the most important things to me is that we continue to work at helping all of us discern and understand our gifts and to figure out how to use them for the sake of mission and ministry, not only because of the importance of mission and ministry, but also because it is the way we grow. The way we grow is not by burying our gifts and talents in the ground, but taking the risk of investing them in mission and ministry. We did a series in September to begin the fall, to begin a new program year that we call Propel, which was about discerning our gifts and figuring out how to use our gifts for the sake of mission and ministry. And the purpose of that is because whatever we invest ourselves in is how we are going to grow. And so I want to take just a minute to talk to a few members of our church who have invested themselves. They've taken the risk of not burying their gifts and talents in the ground, but they've taken the risk of investing themselves in mission and ministry. And a couple of these people are still relatively new members of Foundry. So I want to start with Brian. Hey, Brian, why don't you come up here a little bit so the balcony can see you? This is Brian. This is Brian Walker. Brian teaches Sunday school during our 9:30 worship service. He teaches children, our older children up to sixth grade. Brian, how long have you been here at Foundry?
I've been at Foundry for about a year and a half.
And you plunged right in and volunteered to teach Sunday school?
Almost. I became a member last year in the summer, and I pretty much started teaching then.
So what moved you to do that? You're a busy person. You're an architect.
Yes.
You've got a lot to keep you busy. Why did you decide to spend time with our children?
It's a mission I believe in. As a gay man, I had struggles finding a church home for a while, and I grew up in a church and I was comfortable, but then once I became more comfortable with my sexuality and wanted to find a church home, I ended up at Foundry. So I basically wanted to invest back into something that I believe in.
So you help our children grow up in a culture that is open and inclusive and affirming of everyone and help them see that value.
Exactly.
So Have you benefited or grown in any way as a result of working with our children?
I have. As kids, as you all know with kids, especially ranging from second through the sixth grade, they're full of surprises, and every Sunday is always something new. But in general, it's made me a more sensitive and aware person to the world, and it makes me think twice about things that I do, things that happen in the world, and how it impacts the younger generations.
So did you think a long time before offering to be a Sunday school teacher, or did you do it on impulse?
A little bit of both. It was when I became a member, they said, here's a list of our ministries that you can get involved in, and I put down teaching to find out more information. And then that Sunday, I was in class teaching, so it was a little bit impulse and thrown right in.
Let's thank Brian for stepping out and investing in our children. I want to introduce you to Sarah. Sarah's been on my mind because just a few Sundays ago, Sarah did what I think was her first solo with our choir. Am I right about it being the first one with our choir? Sarah, would you stand up? This is Sarah. I also remember that Sarah's been a member here at Foundry for 4 years because we baptized her. Why don't you step out a little bit? We baptized her on the Sunday that the around when the Obamas were coming into the White House, and there were news crews all over the place wondering where the Obamas would show up for church. So Sarah had the joy of having her baptism televised here at Foundry Church.
I was terrified.
So when did you join the choir?
About 2 years ago.
A little closer. You joined the choir 2 years ago? I know, I happen to know, because before your baptism we had lunch, and you were really, at the time, had an enormous amount of work to do. And so I know you're a busy person, you're a committed person, you take your job very seriously. What caused you to decide to invest time in the choir? Because I know our choir does not, I don't know if you know this, our choir just does not just show up on Sunday morning and start singing. Being in the choir requires a time of investment and learning. So what moved you to join the choir?
Well, first, what brought me to Foundry was Dean. There's no question about it. I was not raised in a faith and was terrified to be baptized as an adult. I thought of my big fat Greek wedding, that scene where the adult gets baptized. That's what I was thinking about. Until Dean told me that you are always part of this church, and I was amazed. I've always sung. I sang in the National Cathedral, but I wanted a smaller choir. I wanted a choir with a group, with community, and you get that here. And Stanley Thurston was, by all means, if you drew me in, then Stanley hooked me.
Good.
Because he has so much passion, and there's a great variety of singing. And this is a great group of people, a really fun, committed group.
So, Sarah, have you grown as a result of being part of the choir in any way?
Yeah, I think I'm hoping to grow all the time, but I think what music gives me is peace, it gives me joy, and it gets the creative side of my brain that I don't tap into enough in my federal employee job. So I like to think that it restores my humanity to be able to connect with people, and that's very important.
That's great. Thank you, Sarah. I also want to talk to Jill Barker. Jill, would you stand up? Right here is good. Jill is not a new member. How long have you been here at Foundry, Jill?
30 years.
So Jill is, as many of you know, the chairperson of our board here at Foundry. And she invests countless hours in serving Foundry Church as our board member. If you counted only the time that I'm calling her up and telling her I have no idea what to do next, it would be an enormous amount of time. Did you start out as a busy, deeply engaged, involved Foundry member 30 years ago?
No, and I know you're not trying to embarrass me, but I am embarrassed to say that I did not come to worship for about 2 years. I participated in the housing mission that we had at the time. I think Martha remembers that, and a few other people. It was a transitional neighborhood, and the elderly who lived here often couldn't afford to keep up their homes. And so we would go in and do that. And I found a very engaged group of people and a community in doing that. But I didn't come to worship. I just did that.
What got you into worship?
I think the love that was shared within that community, and they were all coming from this one place, so I thought, well, maybe I better go check that out.
So in your 30 years with Foundry, starting out in the housing mission and then starting to worship and then starting to be involved with our youth and then ending up as chairperson of our board. Have you grown any way during that process?
Oh, yes.
Have you grown in a way you're happy about?
Yes. Just like raising a family is a lot of work and a big struggle. The work that I'm doing now is a lot of work and a big struggle, but it's really worth it. I was not raised in any particular church, and I did not understand the concept of church home, but now I am fully cognizant of the power of the church home, and I appreciate that very much here.
Thank you, Jill. So this is my invitation for the year 2013, which is to ask each and every one of you, what's the next step for you? It's a very, very tough scripture lesson if you listen to it closely that we had this morning. It sounds almost cruel. But here's the bottom line that it's saying. The bottom line is, whatever we invest ourselves in, we grow in. And whatever we bury into the ground to try to hold on to, we lose altogether. Now, I know work is important for many of us. It's important for me. But if you overinvest yourself, if you overinvest yourself in work, what you're going to get back is more work. If you invest yourself in caring, what you're going to get back is an ever-increasing caring heart. If you invest yourself in service, what you will get back is a longing to serve. Whatever we invest ourselves in, we will grow in. Whatever talent and resources that we're given that we bury in the ground, we will lose. This isn't magic. This isn't a televangelist gimmick. What I'm telling you is a basic principle of life that Jesus taught, and he taught it in a way that's almost harsh. If you or I have a talent, a gift, and we don't use it, we'll lose it. If we use it, we'll get even more of it back. And so our invitation to you, our staff sitting up front, and some of them throughout the congregation, our staff's number one passion is to help you figure out what the next step of growth in Christian discipleship, in godly discipleship, is for you. There is something more for you to invest yourself in so that you might receive back even more. And that's our focus. That's what I'm going to talk about. That's what the staff of the church is going to work on in the year ahead. That's what we're going to ask our board to consistently think about. How can we invite each other more and more deeply into the glorious and rewarding life of discipleship?